الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب وقال تعالى وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم صدق الله المولانا العظيم On one occasion, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Panampuri, rahmatullahi, explains he was traveling by air and a person in Hindu was sitting next to him. Then he started a conversation with him to speak about Deen, invite him towards Deen. It emerged that he was a Hindu, but he had become an atheist. He did not believe in God, in Allah Ta'ala in any way. In the conversation then, he said that, Maulana, there are millions, billions of people in the world who believe in Allah, God, Bhagwan, but nobody has seen him till today. So without seeing Allah Ta'ala, this belief is not acceptable. How can you believe in someone who you haven't seen? In other words, the same old philosophy of that seeing is believing, hearing is deceiving. So Maulana told him that there are millions and billions of people who believe in things which they have not seen. They believe in millions and billions of people, believe in millions and billions of things which they have not seen. And particularly those countries which are more famous for their atheism, that they don't believe in God, the Western world. Even there are billions, and all of them believe in things which they have not seen. So sarcastically he said, Maulana, forget millions and billions. Tell me one, two things that a person believes in without seeing. So Maulana told him, let's see, you and me, we are sitting here, we have got brains in our head. And our brains are in order. That's why we are talking normally, we are sitting normally. The whole plane full of people, all got brains. Have you seen the brains of anyone? He said, no. And Maulana told him that everything which you believe in without seeing, but there's a sign for it. From the sign of it, the ayat, the sign, from there you believe. So Maulana says, your brains are in order, my brains are in order, we're sitting, we're discussing. If we did not have brains, what we normally say, which means if you are mentally dearranged, and then you start shouting, screaming, jumping, you do all funny things. Then too you got brains, but your brains are not arranged properly. There is a fault, a problem in your brains. So you say all the whole aeroplane, all are sitting, all are carrying on normal. Isn't that a sign that they all get brains? So he said, he didn't want to accept, but he had no choice but accepting. Then Maulana told him, I'll give you another example. Me and you and all who are in this plane, we also got ruh, souls. And we haven't seen the souls. You haven't seen, I haven't seen a soul. And the sign of it, from which we believe that we are living, ruh, as long as it, the soul is in the body, which even an atheist believes, that the soul, as long as it's in the body, is alive. An atheist doctor also won't write out a death certificate if there are signs of life. And then the sign of life is proof that the ruh is in the body, the soul. Once the soul is gone out, then a person is a dead person. So he now more he was compelled to believe that we believe in the soul, I believe, and all of us believe that, he says, as a doctor, I write out a death certificate. That means now I'm testifying. I'm putting my head on the block that this person is a dead person. In other words, that the soul is gone out. I didn't see the soul in his body. I didn't see the soul leaving his body. But the fact that I'm writing out a death certificate is the fact that I'm believing in the soul. So now he was a bit more on his guard, went on his defense, etc. Maulana told him, not only human beings and the millions of atheists who believe in things which they don't see, but they believe in it through science. Maulana said even an ant believes in things that things which it doesn't see, and from the science it accepts it. An ant also won't go and eat a snake which is living. An ant also makes out that the snake is dead, then it starts eating that snake. It also understands that now it hasn't seen the soul go, hasn't seen the soul leaving the body. But now it knows from the sign, no movement whatsoever. Little bit they try, the snake is not moving. They see a dead snake, now they start eating the snake. Vultures also. They also believe in things without seeing of in our soul. A living person, a vulture won't come and attack him, or even an animal. But a dead body, then the vultures will also come. They also see from signs that the soul is not in that person. And they believe that that person has got his soul, and the soul is intact in him, so they don't go and eat him, because they believe the soul is there. But when the soul is gone out, they don't see the soul leaving, but they accept it. That the soul has left now, then the vultures will start eating that person. So not only human beings, not only atheists, not only believers, ants also believe in things which they don't see. And vultures also believe, animals also believe in things what they don't see. Then Maulana told him further, that if you go somewhere in a jungle, and you see a house is built there, doesn't it come in your mind there is a builder of this house, that somebody has built this house? He said 100%, a person who doesn't believe it is the biggest idiot, and a person who doesn't believe in Allah, what a big idiot is he, that he doesn't believe. The house, you believe there is a maker. You don't know if he's a white man or a black man. You don't know if he's a tall person or a short person. You don't know anything about him, but you are convinced from the sign of the house that definitely there is a builder, the constructor, the one who has built the house. The house did not just come up on its own. So there is a clear sign. So what the heavens and the earth, the skies and the seas, the rivers and the mountains, all these things, doesn't it show to Allah Ta'ala? Now he was completely overtaken. Maulana told him, you told me not to give you millions of examples, one, two per example. I think so much is sufficient. But for you, I think I have to give you another one, two examples. Maulana said, you're a doctor, and patients come to you in your surgery, and they come for their treatment. You diagnose them, you tell them this is wrong with you, which they don't know of themselves also. You tell them you're a diabetic now, or that you got high blood pressure, but they don't see the sugar in their body. They don't see the salt, the what causes high blood pressure. They don't see that in the body. But you're a doctor, they accept what you say. They didn't see your certificate, they don't ask you for your doctor's certificate. They don't ask whether you are registered, but they see patients coming, all the signs they see. You give them treatment, they get better, so all the signs that we see. I haven't seen your doctor's certificate, I didn't see your registration certificate, but without seeing it from the sign, I believe you're a doctor. So you have to accept that also. Maulana said, take one more example, that in the desert jungle, a Bedouin is walking and he sees the dung of a camel and the footprints of a camel. And from there he deduces that the camel is gone this way here. So he says, yeah, 100%. From the signs, the footprints and the dung of the camel, he deduces a camel. He didn't see the camel, but he's convinced that a camel passed here. So Maulana said that when the footprints of a camel and the dung of a camel can prove that a camel has passed here, then the creation of the heavens and the skies, night and day, sun coming out and setting, the moon rising and setting, and the river and the sea waters remaining in their place, with all the force the waves come, at high tide, how they lash out at the shores. But like a dog with its tail between its legs, they recede and they go back again. All this doesn't point to the one creator, that there is a creator, and he has created. And also more than that, he is in control of his creation. He creates also, and he controls his creation also. Solely in his kudrat. He hasn't left anything on its own. After creating it, he didn't leave it on its own. He created it and he controls it also. Those waves that come and they lash out at the shores, but they all go back. He didn't leave it that the waves can now carry on and doing what they want to and go and overrun the whole land. And Allah's kudrat that the waves that come from the south of the country, of the world, they come upwards. When the whole world knows, water doesn't go upwards. Water flows downwards always. But here they are coming, and what force they are coming. Whose qudrat is this? And the waves in the north of any country, any land, they come down, which is natural, what they come. And how do they lash out at the shore, but then they go back again? Water doesn't go upwards. The water doesn't go backwards. If you spill water, it will just flow. It's not going to come back again. The creation Allah has created, and then Allah has kept it fully in His control. Then Maulana explained further and explained to him that, see, the Qudrat of Allah, that Allah which now you also believe in Him. You can say with your tongue that you don't believe in Him, but you are convinced you believe in Him. And you know that He is there. And it is just a matter of now acknowledging it, then you have got Iman. And that will make you eligible for Jannah now. And if you don't believe, after the clear signs, 6,666 ayats or whatever, all proof to the existence of Allah. And believing in Allah, accepting Him, will give you the greatest of ni'mats of Jannah. And when you are so against your own brains, akal ke mare huye, that your own brains are clear and tell you, and so many ayat and you don't believe, all the azab of Jahannam is not enough for you. You deserve more azab than that also. And this is also Allah's mercy, that Allah limited that azab also to what is limited it. Though it is severe, Allah protect us all. But that you deserve the worst punishment when you are going against your own intellect and your own experience and clear signs. Experience also. One is a person who knows his job. He's qualified to do that job. And more added is if he's an experienced person in that job. So if all this, that clear signs of Allah, and we're living it day in and day out, we are living in the oneness of Allah, in the qudrat of Allah, and still we don't believe in Allah, and that Allah is so close to a person, closer than our life Allah is. And still a person didn't believe. He is the idiot of the idiot. He is a stupid of the stupid. And the worst punishment of Jahannam is also not sufficient for him. Then Maulana explains, see, that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, who has created us. How are we created? As the doctor, you tell me, is it by the husband and wife meeting and having relations that a child is born? Or is it the qudrat of Allah? After this background of his, he gave it thought and he said, it's only the qudrat of Allah. Then Maulana explained to him, the semen of the husband and the semen of the wife mix. And from there, and this also, najis, napak. We call it napak, and it is napak. Even any person regards it as dirty and filthy. A non-Muslim also will regard semen as dirty and filthy. And atheist also. It touches the body, it touches the clothes, wash it off, it's dirty, you don't want to touch it also. And as a mu'min, you have to take a bath. You don't feel right until you did not take a bath and you have cleansed yourself again. And the other reason, that the semen has come out from one small little hole. But now ghusl is wajib on the whole body, because the whole body takes part in that enjoyment. When just the excretion of the semen, in which Allah has kept that enjoyment, the whole body gets enjoyment. So therefore you have to wash and bath, take a full bath, and the whole body must be washed. Not just that one part you wash, and then it is clean and you are clean, the whole body. But anyway, with the drops of semen, which are dirty, which are filthy, and in our terms, which are insignificant, they are the things, the semen hasn't got any qudrat either. It is solely wahdahu la shariq. And Allah Ta'ala wanted to show that His qudrat is such that from the most insignificant, most dirtiest, and the most filthiest things, He creates, and He creates, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The raw materials Allah uses are of the lowest level. A carpenter blames his tools. If something goes wrong, carpenter will blame that the tools were not right. Or we say the raw material supplied was not right. But Allah used and showed us that the lowest of raw material, the semen, which is filthy, dirty, but from there Allah produced, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. What honor we gave to Bani Adam. So what is the qudrat of Allah? He is the only mujid, the one who brings into existence. And He is that being that with His qudrat alone, His qudrat alone, He uses the lowest and the dirtiest things to produce the best thing. That is the insan of the best in all forms. Allah Ta'ala has created insan the best. And then Allah then let explain that see, this, from where did the semen come? The semen comes from the food that they put. The blood makes the semen in the body. 40 drops of blood makes one drop of semen. And the blood is made by the food that we eat. And the food that we eat is, for example, rice, flour, fruit, or all the things that we eat. From where did that come? All from the ground. And how did that come? By one seed. And that seed, it just that didn't grow. The ground was necessary. So, and in the ground, it's not just ground. It is ground which we some call ground, banjar, ground. Ground that is, what's banjar?
Barren.
Just like a woman is barren, she can't bear children. Some ground is barren, it can't produce anything. And the ground has to have all the elements which are in there, the chemicals which are necessary, natural. You don't have to add chemicals. If you do the farming properly, give the land its rest. Don't just farm it all the time. Then you don't have to add all this artificial chemicals and fertilizers. It gets its power back again and then use it again later. Anyway, and if there isn't the greed which man has got, Allah has made the ground sufficient to feed the whole world. No matter what the population explosion, which scientists just use as an excuse to use the artificial things. Otherwise, Allah has made the land sufficient and it will suffice for everyone. Anyway, so those, all the fertilizers, chemicals, which Allah has kept in the ground, that was all necessary. From all that, insan has come. Insan has come by the rays of the sun. The sun shined to ripen, to grow the things. The sun was necessary. The insan has come from the rays of the moon. During the day, the sun's rays has an effect on all the things, on human beings, on everything. And for the growth of a human being, vitamin D, for example, is absolutely necessary. And vitamin D, it comes primarily from the rays of the sun. Many other benefits, innumerable benefits of the sun also. We need heat in our body. And it's not the poor people that have heaters. Allah gives that heat. And Allah gives it in the form of the sun. Free of charge, Allah gives that heat. Anyway, the rays of the moon and the effects of the stars. Not the negative and wrong things which you follow your horoscope. That is totally lies, and it is haram to believe that the stars have an effect on your life. But like the rays of the sun is necessary for the growth of the food which Allah has made, the rays of the moon and also the effects of the stars also, they also have. Then the rain water which comes down, the winds that blow, and the oxygen which is in the wind, and everything which is which Allah Ta'ala has kept. So what all insan, where was he? Insan was scattered in the rays of the sun, in the rays, in the effects of the moon, the effects of the stars. Insan was scattered in all the raindrops. Insan was scattered in all the fertilizers which Allah had kept naturally in the ground. All these things, then it produced that food. Now an apple, now a watermelon, now a peach, now rice, now flour, all these things it produced that. Then the man, woman ate this. After eating it, Allah's system alone, not natural, it didn't happen naturally. Now that the body makes the blood out of that food. From the blood now, semen is produced. So man was scattered in all the whole universe, all these things. Then now, in that one drop of semen, Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala kept the existence of the wujud. The coming of existence of that little baby, that child. And in that one drop of semen, the existence of the child also Allah Ta'ala kept. And this is all the Qudrat of Allah. And to zahir hai aur laakh parde mein hai tu. Oh Allah, you are apparent over everywhere. But your greatness is at the same time, you are hidden also in a thousand veils. You are open everywhere. If I close my eyes, I see you. If I open my eyes, I see you. If I'm Allah is everywhere. Masjidon mein Allah, minaron mein Allah, Quranon mein Allah, azanon mein Allah, gharon mein Allah, bahar Allah, upar Allah, niche Allah. Allah is everywhere. When you are asleep, Allah is there. When you awake, Allah is there. Laakh parde mein hai tu, aur sakht izhar tera. Tu awwal, tu akhir, tu zahir, tu baatin, tu hi hai, tu hi, ya ke aasar tera. Your signs are all the time pointing to you. You hide yourself, O Allah, but you are manifest, you are open. And a person who sees Allah Ta'ala, he is the one who believes and accepts Allah. And the more we see Allah with the eyes of the heart, the stronger that person's iman. The world's atheists can come with all their theories, but you will just debunk all those theories. You might not be able to give answer to one theory, but you will know it is one Allah, and He alone is the doer of everything. So that Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala, then in the way He created this insan, yakhluqukum fi butuni ummahatikum, yakhluqukum fa'al mudari, istimrar, continuity. Allah is continuously creating. Allah ta'ala all the time is creating. 300,000 babies a day are born in the world presently. And Allah is preparing them, each one with 300,000 babies, 600,000 eyes every day. Every day, 600,000 ears, 600,000 lips, 600,000 hands, 600,000 legs. Every day Allah Ta'ala is supplying. So what is the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? And all this are not with separate plants and factories where they are made, and then the assembly plant is the womb of the mother. But it is manufactured therein, it is created in the womb of the mother. The mother and father can be cardiologists, they can't control their own heart. Making a heart is right out of the question. And controlling that the heart must never die, must never start working, it's not in their control. Both the mother and father can be orthodontists, but they are not control of the teeth. And both the mother and father can be optometrists. They can't make an eye. They admit we don't know still. Our limit, how much knowledge we got, is very limited. We don't know more. Allah alone, He is the one who has all the knowledge, all the qudrat, everything in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So there in three, fi butuni ummahatikum, in the insides of your stomach, fi zulumatin thalath, in three layers of darkness, the darkness of the body of the mother, the darkness of the womb, and the darkness of the embryonic sac in which the child is kept. And nobody in the world works in darkness. All wants light and power. If there's light and power, no light, no power, no work. But Allah's work is in three layers of darkness. And what did Allah produce in that? وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. And other ayat, كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. As Allah wants to, He made that form in the body of the mother. And perfectly, exactly as Allah's planning board, like that is in the factory of Allah. No difference from the planning board what Allah wants to. Allah wants to make that baby white, He's white. Allah wants to make him black, He's black. Beautiful is beautiful. Ugly is ugly. Everything in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala alone makes that baby. Allah in that little womb created the eyes of the baby. Allah created the nose and everything, the soft material to make the brains in that one drop of the semen. And it was made in that womb of the mother. And then the soft material required for the heart was made there also, in that one drop of semen. Which chip, technology can make, can have all these things. No matter what chips, and we can get amazed and overtaken by technology, but it's only those people who haven't seen the technology of Allah. Once you have seen the technology of Allah, the technology of this world goes in the shadows. It goes meaningless. That is, once you see the technology of Allah and His Qudrat, in that same one drop of semen, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala kept the hard material of the bones, of the cage, the rib cage, of all the bones Allah kept there. In that same material, Allah kept the hair which will grow on the body. In the same material, Allah kept the nails. And Allah made the baby and completed him with nails and all. The building is not completed until it is not tiled. Allah did the tiling also, the nails that Allah Ta'ala put on. And all this happening in that womb of the mother, and she has got no idea, not the faintest idea of what great qudrat of Allah's work taking place within her. She is going through her morning sickness. She is going through her spewing, and her whole anatomy is changing everything. But the great, great qudrat of Allah is taking place within her. She doesn't have to be a university graduate. She doesn't have to be an alima. A girl are living in the forest and in the jungles, and she has conceived. All this is happening in her also. And then when Allah has made all this great qudrat, and Allah's qudrat is above that, Allah does everything according to His qudrat. Allah Ta'ala made the whole body, everything. And then when the child is born, like the one hand span, little baby, and that also the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, for that little baby to come out from such a narrow passage is also an impossible thing. But it's happening, nobody can deny it also. All the time in the world, 250, 300,000 babies are born. And from there we take a lesson from the narrow passage of the qabr. How that baby comes out from that narrow pair, from a small world of the womb of the mother. It comes out into the big world of this this big world of this dunya. And from a narrow passage it comes through. It was a matter of life and death. Many a mother will say, never again. The pain she goes through, everything. But then when Allah puts that baby and they put it on her chest, how happy she feels. And then from the narrow passage of this world, the qabr, a person goes into a much more vast world of the akhirat. in that womb of the mother, if anyone could have contact with the baby and said, the world you are going to, there are big, big trains that are moving. There are big, big cranes. There are big, big aeroplanes, cars, etc. Ships, big, big ships. Like a world is existing in that ship. The ship baby will say, I haven't got place to stretch my arms. I haven't got space to stretch my legs. What are you talking of, so big things? It's impossible. But when it comes in this world, and as soon as it has it in its senses, it is prepared to accept not one train, but thousands of trains. And speeding at high, high speeds. Such speed trains that they don't touch the rails. They are flying on top of the rails. Who's Qudrat? And the aeroplanes that are flying in the air, and the ships that are floating on water, and the submarines which are under the water, it will believe all that. Just like that, once a person dies, we might think the azab and the enjoyments of akhirat are far-fetched and impossible. We will be prepared to accept everything. Just when Malakul Maut will come, we will see the reality. And even the hardcore atheists will believe in everything. And then Allah Ta'ala created us and brought us in this world and controlled us here also. He didn't just leave us like that. When Allah Ta'ala, He made everything, made the heart, made the eyes, made the tongue, made the liver, made everything, the nervous system, digestive system, every nervous system, everything Allah made. But Allah didn't put teeth in the mouth of the child. And that also shows the great qudrat of Allah. Because Allah made this child, it's not going to go pecking in the ground to look for its rosy. Naturally, Allah will make it. فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى Musa Ali, who is your Rabb? Fir'aun asked. رَبُّنَا الَّذِي آتَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى My Rabb is that everything He made, He's the engineer, He's the architect, He made it everything, and He's the constructor. And then again, not only that, but He put it on its course. A chicken of a hen is born. It is born from a living hen, a dead chicken comes out. From the dead chicken, from the dead egg, a live chicken comes out. And the chicken immediately starts pecking in the ground for its rosy. It doesn't look for the breast of the mother and want to drink milk from the mother. A human being's child is born and automatically it starts looking for the breast of the mother. And the most delicate part of the mother, her breast. And the child has had teeth already. And sometimes it does happen, some children's teeth come about earlier and bite the mother. And the mother screams, but she forgives the child. Because remember that the mother, they bore the child for 9 months inside her. She gave birth to that child. She weans the child, brings up the child, breastfeeds the child, looks after the child. The love she has for the child, nobody else can have. Not the father also, and not a nanny, and not a daycare center, out of the question. Only the mother can have that love for the child. And so she will forgive. And if you try to bite the mother there, she will never forgive you. Like a person who called Amma Lulu. Amma Lulu, that big man, 25, 30 year old, with a big beard and everything. He saw that my wife gave birth to a child, and now she's not giving me attention. Now her attention is with her child. He became jealous also. And he wanted attention also. Now how to get the attention of his wife? Now she is with her baby. Middle of the night she's prepared to do things for her baby, but for the husband, you were not in the womb of the mother, or of her. She didn't give birth to you. You're a stranger to her. You took her out from her precincts and the environment of her mother's house, where she lived with her siblings and they were laughing, playing, fighting, joking, everything. You took her out from there. She cannot have that feelings for you as what she has had for the child that she bore. So this person, feeling jealous, he also wrapped himself up in a little baby's blanket and went and lie down like a baby. And when she opened up, he said, oh, this big man with a beard. So this is Amma Lulu. He was acting like a baby to get attention from his wife. But it doesn't work. It won't work. You'll get exposed immediately. So we must not expect that. Anyway, so Allah in His wisdom, what wisdom of Allah, what system of Allah, everything, all the parts of the body Allah put, but no teeth Allah put. And that also, what great will, who can be this besides the Creator, the Maker, the Controller of everything? A person who doesn't believe in Him deserves the worst punishment. And it is Allah's mercy that He doesn't give them even more worse punishment than, and Allah may give us tawfiq to believe in Allah as He is and not get impressed with all the kuffar and the atheists. Today all the atheist things of all the evil, we are falling prey to it. And our ulama and learned people, we following in their ways. We have got the most sublime way. The Quran Sharif from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It is the one Rabbil Alameen. All praises only to for Him. The whole Quran Sharif, all the ayat, all the surahs, every alphabet, every zabar and zair, Arab, till Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, all pointing to Allah. And still we don't find Allah. You open your eyes, you see Allah. You close your eyes, you see Allah. You walk, you see Allah. You lie down, you see Allah. Allah is everywhere. So Allah Ta'ala, and then when the teeth start growing, whose qudrat is it that they come to a certain level and stop growing? If the system which is our logical system and our engineer system, that when the child was 1 year old, he should have a tooth of 1 millimeter. And when he's 5 years, 5 millimeters. 10 years, 1 centimeter. And when normally boys and girls get married, the teeth are 20 millimeters, 2 centimeters. And when they go and look at one another, which is sunnat also, and the boy sees the girl, and the girl sees the boy, to who is my mother getting me married to? To this bulldozer, with a big mouth and with big teeth like that, like a bulldozer. And the boy will see the girl, who am I to marry? I will want to kiss her. But this is a bulldozer here. This is not that beautiful woman which you talk about. Big bulldozer here. Who is it that kept that teeth at that one level and did not let it grow further? None other but the one Allah. The creation is only for Allah. The control is only for Allah. Return is only to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made it for the tongue. The tongue also just grows to a certain level. Doesn't keep on growing. If the tongue kept on growing, our tongue should be laying on our chest here, on our stomachs. And the more bigger a person, the more bigger tongue. And then you should go and propose for that boy and girl with your big teeth and with the tongue sticking out or right out of your mouth and lying on your stomach, the tongue. What should be our condition? Who is it that controls it and believes it just to that level? Allah Ta'ala gave us our eyebrows. Allah grace, and they grow. And when necessary, you can cut them if they grow beyond the limit. But the hair on the eyelids, they don't grow over. If Allah Ta'ala let that also grow all the time, and how we should look with big hair covering whole our cheeks should be covered. We couldn't open our eyes. How we should manage to lift up that hair all the, who is it that we do? We don't have to trim it. We don't have to look after it. Whole life we open our eyes, our clothes. The fluid on the eyes makes it easy for us to open our eyes, to close. As when there is a sandstorm and you close your eyes, when there is a woman storm and women are everywhere, also close your eyes. The sand storm will destroy your eyes perhaps, but this will destroy your life. It will destroy your iman. So do the simple act of just, you don't have to press any button anywhere. You don't have to use gas and keys and unlock and lock the thing. Just by a simple thought, by the iman on Allah, just قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, lower your gazes. Just shut your shutters then. And when they say, again, it's permissible for you to look, then you look. Who is it that made the eyes grow and only to a certain level? If we all should be sitting now with big, big eyes here. And a person who is now 20 years, his eyes are 20, merely 2 centimeters square. 40 years old, 4 square centimeters. 80 years old, 8 square centimeters. How should we all be looking with our big, big eyes? If Allah made our fingers to keep on growing, and our toes, and we all should be sitting with 1 meter toes here. And the toes which are now 2 centimeters, 1.5, 2.5 centimeters. If the toes kept on growing, 1 meter long toes, and 1 meter long fingers, how should we be? وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. One and only Allah who does all this. And still a person doesn't believe in Allah. He seriously, no maid hospital is good enough for him. No ICU is good enough for him. The only place for him is the fire of Jahannam. And all that punishment is also to, and a person Allah has made it so cheap. Just believe in what is fact. What are open in front of your eyes, and you get Jannat. Al-Jannat la aiba fi, in which there is no fault. Jannat, which is according to walakum fiha ma tashtahi anfusukum walakum fiha ma tadda'un. Whatever you will wish, whatever you will ask, nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. It is mehmani, entertainment from he who is ghafur. He knows your faults, but he has forgiven them. He doesn't talk about them also. In fact, he showers you what is favor. If we don't believe in him, one Allah, one alone Allah does. So believe in Allah. Allah is everywhere, and it is our duty that we bring it to the notice of other people who we work with. Don't get impressed with them and have end of the year parties. Impress them and bring them to Allah Ta'ala. Don't be impressed with them and follow their fashion and their stupid thing. Bring them towards the commands of Allah, the existence of Allah, and the risalat of Nabi alayhi salam. What a Nabi Allah has sent to us. What character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Whither are we going? Which direction? Who are we? And what should we be doing? Allah bring us to our senses, inshallah. Allah accept, inshallah.